Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
This program is available on this quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audio Boo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio.
Petra, don't forget Pipeline Radio International.
Plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I.
Hello boys and girls, how the devil are you? This is Postcard from Pop Bread, your weekly diverse look at the news and all those lovely radio services. Hi, I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious sun-covered Tatry Mountains, as Banksy once described them, the teeth of Slovakia. And they're all covered in snow. It's been snowing again. It's wonderful. And it's all lovely. And the roads have been cleaned by the nice road sweeping people. They haven't been frozen over. And the trains were running because there wasn't a leaf on the line. Hello, Lee.
Hello. I was just surprised. Yes, I did describe the mountains as the teeth of Slovakia. But yeah, it's a beautiful place. I wish I was there. I was supposed to be there, but I've not arrived yet. Oh. And I know. Listen, anyway,
what?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else,
I have to
make an apology on behalf of Mr. Wiltshire to all you who are sitting there listening now.
Why?
Because this programme is not called Postcard from Ploprad.
Poprad?
You said Ploprad, didn't he, Rachel?
Yeah.
Did I? I didn't.
He did. You did. It was very funny.
I didn't.
Yeah, say sorry to the nice people.
Sorry, nice people.
Ploprad.
It was me teeth.
They plopped out.
No. I'm having more work done after the programme today.
Are you?
Yes.
What have you done?
They're modifying them a little bit because I have a little bit of a lisp.
I know, it's really funny. I think it's really charming. It's a good job I'm not in Poprad because I'd be going for you with that lisp.
No, you wouldn't, because you'd need a box of tissues because I'm spraying in your face as I talk to you.
Oh, God.
Yucky. And the female voice giggling away in the background is our darling Australian person, Ish. I suppose you're, because you are Australian, aren't you, really?
Yeah, and that's the rumour.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it a strong rumour?
It's a confirmed rumour.
No.
It's a fact. Let's say it's a fact. Let's just go all out.
So
it's fact.
Were you born in Australia?
I was.
There you are, you're Australian.
Yes.
You're as Australian as a kangaroo.
Too right.
Too right.
More jumping, though.
Hey, I've got something. Do you want to hear some good news? Do you want to hear some good news?
Well, no, I should tell everybody who hasn't been here before, because we got, we have, I can tell you, we have got new listeners to the programme this week as well. So we should introduce the lovely Rachel Branston.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Was that a big enough build-up for you?
That was lovely. Really nice. I feel warm. I do.
Just
it's not just because it's summer. I feel warm and loved.
Oh.
You are warm and loved, Rachel.
We love you.
Do you want to hear some good news? Do you want a warm, fuzzy news? Just really quickly good news.
Really quickly.
There's so little in the world at the moment. There's so little good news. The good news is, that young fella who bowled that ball, what hit that dude in the head.
Yes.
Yeah. He went back to cricket this week.
Good.
He was back playing a Sheffield Shield match for New South Wales, and he took 6 wickets for 14 runs.
Nice
way. Way to make a comeback.
Absolutely.
Well done to you. Well done.
And we have to ask specifically for Rachel, we have to ask, has anybody got a copy of that old song, Fire Brigade by The Move?
Have you tried The Police?
No, they didn't sing it.
When I rang them, they were really unhelpful.
Were they? Because Rachel needs a copy of Fire Brigade, I think, this week. Having set her bin on fire.
Well, I was going to set your bin on fire.
All right. Now, let me retrace. I was going to set... The last resort was setting my bin on fire. The idea was to set my bin on fire because the roller door at my apartment block got jammed and I couldn't escape and nobody would help me and nobody would get the thing unstuck and I couldn't get my car out. I nearly drove through it and I thought, if I set fire to a bin, then the police, the ambulance, I'll get it right in a minute, the fire brigade will come and they will free me
from
Dale. So I nearly did it, and then I thought, oh, you know, arson, it's the sort of thing that gets stapled to every resume you ever give anybody, or maybe I won't do that.
That's really spooky. No, that is so spooky.
Why?
Well, because the door to our office block, which is a shared office block, the actual front door is like one of those double security locks. I goes to put my key in it the other morning. It goes in halfway. It won't go any further.
Mm.
So I'm thinking, oh, no, it's frozen, because it was like -3 at the time. Mm. And I'm thinking, oh, it's froze up. No, I couldn't. I poured de-icer in it. I put my key on me lighter to warm the key up. Nothing would work. And in the end, somebody must have felt sorry for me, because they came down and they said, Eric, the door's broken. We got in, luckily, because somebody else was here. Blah, 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 blah. And the next minute I went out in the evening, the lock would just disappeared altogether. So I had to get a new one. So we were all locked out of work.
Well, you know, this is weird, because there's a manual override on this door. People on Facebook were saying, well, I was saying on Facebook, I'm going to drive through this door in a minute, et cetera, et cetera. People were saying, why don't you try the manual override? Like, I didn't try that 5 minutes after it wouldn't open. Come on. But the manual override is up the top of the roller door. I'm 5'2". Well, actually, I'm 5'1". I'm 5'1 and a quarter. This thing is probably 9-10 feet in the air, probably more. And I can't reach it. There's no way to reach it. Even with a ladder, I couldn't reach it. What good is it?
I know. And do you know what's even funnier? Mm-hmm. There used to be a program on the radio on the BBC many years ago. It was called Two-Way Family Favourites.
God almighty, man. Plop Rad and Two-Way Family Favourites.
In the same show.
Yeah. Right?
And for those of you who didn't know, the idea of Two-Way Family Favourites was the BBC would connect you with, like, Australia from the UK. And then,
wow.
And they would read out messages. And then it even got to the point where they'd phone up for you in the early days. They booked, they used to book a call to, like, Australia or military personnel serving overseas for the Crown. And it was all very prim and proper and stuff like that. And we've got the case of Two-Way Family Favourites on this programme, because I will now read the message that's just flashed up on my screen. Yay! It's postcard time. Hello. Hello, Rachel. Sorry. All the way from the other side of the continent, from Rob.
Ah, Robbie.
That's your husband.
He's usually asleep by now, but we don't see each other very much, Uncle Lee, so this is a bit of a treat. But he's awake. I'm very happy.
Listen, blow him a kiss.
Blow him a kiss.
That's not my turn.
Oh, Rob, don't kiss that.
God,
look at that. That's like an Uber.
I can't. I'm just waiting to read the screen to see how Rob responds to that.
Well, his face will be more like, he'll look like Pinocchio now, won't he?
Absolutely.
Can I just tell you something?
No, we are going to do some news in a minute, boys and girls.
We're just going to tell you this. You'll like it. Oh. My key story. You've both had your key stories. I want to tell my key story.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Have you not noticed? Lee's got a key story. It's a play on words from one of those journalisticy types.
No, it's not. It's straightforward. I was in a hotel in Luton.
Mm.
Yes, that wonderful suburb of London. And I went upstairs back to our bedroom to visit the gentleman's ablution.
As you do.
As you do. Sometimes you prefer the privacy of your own room, don't you?
Yes.
And so
Sometimes I do.
Exactly. You can have the privacy of my room anytime, whether Rob's awake or asleep. And, So I went into the ablution, did whatever you had to do in there, got up, couldn't open the toilet door. I was locked in the toilet in a room. I was like one of those Christmas presents where they just put boxes inside boxes, because I was inside a small room, inside a bigger room, inside a big hotel. And I couldn't get out, and I couldn't make anybody hear. Andrew was downstairs at the bar, probably fell over by now. And so I twittered all my Twitterer friends saying, help me, I'm stuck in the toilet.
Why didn't you just phone the hotel?
Because I never thought of that. That was a good point. I tweeted everybody, and, you know, I got one reply.
What?
Off my mate, the Duke, who just went,
I'm not surprised. They must have thought it was a wind-up. Anyway, Lee's gone very quiet, boys and girls, if you hadn't noticed.
I haven't!
About his girly car.
You know, get lost.
The pretend Bentley. and I just have to ask one question.
Yes, dear?
Is it still working and roadworthy?
It's beautiful. I've had it mopped and polished.
No, I didn't ask that question.
Wheels on it. It looks glorious. It could go to a wedding. I could marry it. It's a black diamond in the sky.
Is it still working and legal?
Of course it is. He doesn't even have a tax disc on it now. See, that's how legal it is. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, that would have been illegal. Well, it was illegal. But now it doesn't have one because it doesn't need one.
It's beautiful.
And ladies and gentlemen, no matter what he says, right, what he ever says about my Bentley, right, it's simple as this. It is not a girly car. It's a muscle car. It's a Hemi. Ha! I have a Hemi. That's not a semi. That's a Hemi.
Yeah.
I meant my house.
Right. Shall we have a different conversation, Warri, which is on?
Yes.
Why
don't we do some news, maybe? I don't know.
I think we'll do that, actually.
There's no news about.
There is lots of news. We are going to start with something. We're going to start with something very
rubbish.
Serious. Very serious.
It isn't serious. It is. Terrible.
It is a terrible story, actually. I quite agree with you. A judge has given permission, which is very unusual in England. What happens in cases like this in England, where they go to what is called the family court, they are all done in camera. How they work that word out, I don't know. Anyway.
It's statin.
It's old. Anyway, what that means is that if you have an issue between father and mother of child or children, it's all done in secrecy so that it protects the children. However, in this case, the judge has decided that it is no longer in camera because he believes that Nathan Lawrence from Birmingham, who's been fighting to get his daughter back for many, many months, is best placed by telling the world about the issue.
Oh, yeah, use publicity. Why don't you use the newspapers? Right.
Who said anything about newspapers?
Well, that's why they do it.
I don't think newspapers cross the waters that well. I think telly and radio does, but not newspapers.
Not radio.
Radio does.
Not telly. Telly's rubbish. No, listen, there is a complete... The reason I say this story is rubbish is not because I deny the sentiment of this story. I think the sentiment's right, and I have a personal story that involves this exact kind of thing. So I'm to a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it just doesn't make sense. There is... I don't trust some of these stories. I don't know where they come from, but I don't trust them. Because it says here, I dropped Jessica off on the Friday.
Yes.
And later, the next week, her teacher called to ask why she'd missed school. Well, did he not notice that his daughter wasn't around from Friday till the middle of next week?
Because it's the way it works. Her mother, would have picked her up from school. Daddy would have done one bit, she does the other bit. And he wouldn't have known that the mother hadn't taken her home. And what she'd done is she'd taken her home from school and left the country when there was actually a High Court injunction in the UK preventing...
Stopping it. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, right. You've read a different story than this, because that doesn't make that clear at all. I didn't really understand what it was about, but I do understand the sentiment behind it.
But anyway, so that's what happens. They have a shared bit, and away you go. So they have this problem. And what they're saying is that West Midlands Police in the UK have already spoken to the local police in Ohio, which is actually a beautiful area of the UK, the USA. And they were going to investigate the abduction. But since then, they've done what is called in America, a safe and well check was carried out with the mother and daughter. And so even though there was a High Court ruling when the woman was in the UK blocking her from going, the American police have said, oh, that's all right, who cares?
Well, the truth is behind this did happen to somebody I know, and her son was kidnapped by the father or taken over by the father. I don't know if it really is kidnapping in these sorts of cases. And she fought for 5 years to get her son back, and ultimately she had to give up and she has to accept that now her son, she lives in America and her son lives in Germany, and it's a tragedy because they communicate by Christmas card and Skype and things like that. But in this case,
happened to a friend of mine too. It's terrible. Yeah, this happens.
It is
so much.
Awful. Yeah,
it isn't good. It isn't good.
But my mate,
his kid got abducted to Japan, and Japan have not signed the Hague Convention.
Yeah,
preventing this stuff from happening.
They haven't, have they? No.
So he can do nothing. He went over there a few weeks ago, and he knows where the child is. He's not. The mother's refusing any kind of contact at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went over there and he sat outside his door trying to talk to this child through the mail slot until the grandmother called the police and made them go away, but they fly over there regularly. It's a terrible situation.
It is. The thing with this story, though, is the fact that it makes it clear when you read all the versions of it that, like Eric's just said, the police have checked it out and this girl seems to be quite happy with her mother. Mm. So really, despite the fact that the mother has broken the law or broken an injunction in the UK and is no longer really under that jurisdiction, why do they then want the press? Why has the judge said that they can reveal the details of this child's life and this wife's and this husband's life to the public when actually the child is at home with its mother and is quite happy? Why have they done it in this case?
Because she broke the law, I suppose.
Well, then, just, you can deal with that kind of thing behind closed doors too.
Not if the other party's not going to take any notice of you. But the judge...
Well, you can. You don't have to have it published. You don't have to have publicity.
The High Court judge has intimated that he hopes making it public will encourage Miss Lewis to return to the UK and explain her case in court.
And yeah, I think his beef's with the US authorities.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. Yeah. Anyway, move on. We're staying with the theme of a mum because a mum's been put in prison for posting terrorist pictures on Facebook. How nutty is that? This is a woman that lived in Luton, which is in Bedfordshire in the UK. She's a mother.
Where I got lost in the toilet.
You did.
Luton's higher priority today.
Luton is a bit, absolutely. But anyway, she posts. I'm not even going to mention her name. Why should I? She was posting these pictures on there and giving tips on how to prepare young children for jihad. And I have to say to this woman, if any of your family are listening, don't go visit her. You can't. I mean, to incite young children to go and kill other people is just outrageous.
There's two ways to look at it. First of all, the fact that you quite often say, I'm not even going to name her. You see, what you're doing there, you're granting her the anonymity whereas the courts... Yes, you are, you won't name her. You won't name her.
No, because they love the publicity, Lee. This is the problem with these people.
But the basics of law is the reason that they get named is because that's part of the punishment. So, and it's not only
name
a punishment.
Shame.
It's so, yeah,
oh,
it's
on,
so
then.
You know who's against you.
Runa Khan. Shame.
And she also appeared to glorify the murder of the tragic murder of soldier Lee Rigby, which is just obscene. Anyway, she's admitted four charges of disseminating terrorist publications between July and September of 2013, and she's been jailed for 5 years and 3 months.
That's a long time. I'm not saying she doesn't deserve it, but basically what she did, she played dress-up on Facebook with her kids. A lot of idiots do things like that.
Yep.
And she did it in a bit of an outrageous way. Is it as bad as Prince William or Harry, whoever it was, dressing as a Nazi? I don't know. But 5 years is a hell of a sentence for this. And perhaps it's a sort of warning. Yeah. We should be sending out, yeah.
Absolutely. Rachel, I'm going to turn to you to the next one because it's your beloved Joan Rivers has done something really nice, hasn't she?
She's great. I love her. Joan Rivers used to take her dogs everywhere and they were always with her. And when she was interviewed, they were always on her lap and she was like, they were her fur babies. So what she's done is she has left her daughter Melissa in charge of her fortune, of course. So, and she's worth about $150 million. What's that, £97 million, it says here.
Yeah.
And she wants it to go to charities, including Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Good stuff.
And all sorts of other lovely charities. And she's left a whole bunch of – she also left a – provisions in her will for her animals to be taken care of. One of them's gone to her personal assistant, and the other one's gone somewhere else to one of the other people in her inner circle. It's just really lovely. She was very wealthy when she died, and she's left these fantastic charities, lots and lots of money. And that charity she started was God's Love We Deliver. Mm. Delivering meals to people with HIV who couldn't leave the house and were really, really sick.
Wonderful.
So
she was
it's
a
brilliant
woman.
She was a real philanthropist, and I really miss her very much still.
Yeah, I can understand that.
See, can we go about the journalism here again, though? Because these stories are absolute rubbish. These are amateur stories.
Why?
Well, it says here. I've got your teeth in now.
there are the Ew. Words. There are the words of the journalist.
I can't say it. Details of her assets.
Specifics.
Specifics of her assets and how they will be divided haven't been disclosed yet. In the intro, it says worth 150 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so they know what she's worth,
they have
or
been
you don't.
Disclosed. They have been disclosed. Well, that's silly liar, pants on
that's
fire.
That's the total, but he doesn't actually say which bank she's got which bits in, so it's not specific. I agree. Anyway, moving along, I can't believe this. This is just horrendous.
Uh-huh. So troubling.
It is, isn't it? Where you've got two boys aged 12 and 13 that have appeared in court in Israel. Because they tried to rob a bank with toy guns. What is the world coming to?
Do we really believe they tried to rob a bank with guns?
I've seen
Do we really believe?
Yes.
It's do we not used to play games like being bank robbers, cops and robbers?
Yeah, but I didn't go into a bank and play.
No.
Well, sometimes you make a mistake, don't you? You go a little bit too far.
Not at 12 and 13, no.
It's troubling because of all the shootings of people who have got fake weapons or a banana in their hand or whatever. Mm. There seems to be a spate of them, and I don't think they're restricted to the United States either. It just seems to be focused there at the moment. But there's so much that can go wrong in this scenario, so much that can go wrong. I mean, it's two little boys playing a prank, clearly unaware of the ramifications of their actions.
Yeah, indeed.
But they had people frightened. I was held up with a toy gun once.
Was you?
And the guy was trying to make out that it was real, but it wasn't. It was a replica. But, I mean, I wasn't to know that it was a replica.
Well, no, that's true. You wouldn't know.
Well, no, wouldn't. But you have to accept, right, that I'm not saying that what they did is right. I'm not defending it. I am the voice of reason this week.
Like,
what I'm saying is there is two lads who have got into a bank with a plastic gun and said, stick them up. Or whatever they said, and then run off. Now, that doesn't seem to me to be a concerted effort.
No, they actually stayed in the bank more than just stick your hands up and ran away.
Listen, they entered the bank before shouting, this is a hold-up, yes. It is alleged, and then ran off.
Yeah, eventually.
But think about what their lawyer, Gil Gabby, has to say. And this, I think, is where I'm coming from. He's actually saying that the youngsters' rights have been violated because they were picked up by the police and interviewed overnight. He's saying they were investigated during the night against legal instructions. They slept on a chair in the police station. I think they should have been treated differently. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should have been treated like criminals. They're children. It could have been a game. And they didn't actually harm anybody apart from scare people a few times. Well, Tony Blair's done that enough, hasn't he?
Well, he's not arrested. I just wonder what gave him the thought to do it at 12 and 13 years old.
That's what
scares me.
Yeah.
But anyway, we move on because we've only got a couple of minutes left. I'm going to squeeze one topic in for himself, who has tried to book a flight and a holiday for his dearly beloved Andrea.
Yeah.
And he wants to go to America. So he says, tell you what, I'd like this, but can you get me a seat that's got, you know, the extra leg room in it on the plane, because I've got such a big tummy, I can't actually get in the normal seat. Nothing to do with his legs at all. It's actually
That's really hurtful.
Is it?
Well, it is. Yeah.
But it is true.
I have to stand up. I have to stand up all 5 foot one of me and not requiring any extra leg room for Lee, because that's hurtful.
Listen, let's tell the story.
He's invested in that beer belly, you know.
Bliss.
I don't have a beer belly, ladies and gentlemen.
No, he doesn't.
I really don't, actually.
Lee, Uncle Lee, how much extra money were you required to pay for
right,
this extra week?
I'll tell you the story, right? We went in to support this story. We always use a travel agent because I don't trust the internet. And this is an example of what can happen to you on the internet. And it was because we're in the travel agents, it didn't happen. But we found Thomas Cook, right? Bastions of travel society in Britain for hundreds of years, 200 years nearly. And we found a flight, we found the hotel we wanted to stay at in Central Park. Oh, everything was there. And we've got to pay, it comes to nearly £2,000 we were about to pay. And I just said, what about extra legroom? They asked, it's United Air in America, Airways in America. They asked United Airways, and United Airways said...
Airlines, sorry.
You're right. They said, we cannot discuss extra legroom until you have paid for your package.
That's so tricky and sneaky.
That's terrible, yeah. Uh-huh. The reason they did it is this, right?
Uh-huh.
Because we forced the issue with them. We kept nagging them, and ultimately they came back and said, yes, there is legroom in the exits aisles, so you can have that. So we said, how much will it cost? Listen to this. The reason they wouldn't tell you before you'd paid for your package is because they wanted £400 for two return flights.
Jeez,
with extra legroom. What did I say?
I said, are they going to give you golden legs?
Yes. Yeah. But listen to this. Listen to this. This is where it becomes more important. And Thomas Cook, I contacted Thomas Cook, right? They are described on the details we got as the supplier. Therefore, they are the vendor. They're selling this holiday, right? This is what they said. The first reaction was, sorry, you'll have to talk to United Airlines or Airways, whatever it's called. And I wrote back saying, no, don't. You sold me that. You were trying to sell it to me. You talked to me about it. So ultimately, after four phone calls, this is what they've come back and said. And now I put a new set of questions into them based on what they've said here. They've said, we have conducted an investigation into the matter, which doesn't sound true because it only happened on Wednesday.
I was going to say.
Yeah, and looked at the terms and conditions of our partner, United Airlines, who we use on some signature bookings, right? Under United Standards booking conditions, customers are informed of an additional seat-specific pricing option only following a booking.
Oh, flipping it.
Right.
Hold on a minute, Lee. We've got 15 seconds, so I'm going to say this for you.
Well,
hello. Hello, Thomas Cook. Hello. Wake up and be part of the real world, because we don't like you at the minute, and if we don't like you, this could carry on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
Eric... Give me a break.
If your dream holiday is 2 hours from the UK, perfect for children and teenagers, young couples and the older visitor, ideal for the physically active and for those who just want to unwind, Aqua City is the destination for you. Described by the Travel Channel as the place that will soon be on everybody's lips, be ahead of the crowd and the envy of your friends, but still enjoy a home from home. Come to Aqua City Poprad, the world's leading green resort.
Hi, I'm Lewis.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Hi, I'm Nick.
Hi, I'm you.
Hi, I'm Ben.
Together, we are all Train to Game winners.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame
and take your first step in a career into the gaming industry,
please go to www.traintogame.com.
That's www.traintogame.com.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame,
that address again,
www.traintogame.com.